Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Bengal Tiger Podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, and today we're starting our opponent preview series here with Cole Pinkston of Auburn Live for On Three. Covers Auburn, obviously. Cole, how are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Ready to talk some football. You know, recruiting season's in full swing. Let's talk a little football, man.
Yeah, let's talk about the actual teams that are going to be playing. I feel like that's overlooked at times over the summer whenever, you know, people are looking at the recruiting services. But yeah, Auburn, obviously the coaching change is where people start going from Brian Harsin to Hugh Freeze. We'll kind of put last year in a box, put it away, but I guess if you want to, you know, kind of recap that season, you can. But what were your thoughts on, you know, last season, and then obviously the transition of Harsin to Freeze so far?
Yeah, you know, last season, unfortunately for Auburn, it was like a downhill effect. You could see it from the first season of Harsin going into the next season. Recruiting was iffy, and then you didn't have a great transfer portal cycle when you needed to fill a lot of spots. And there were some depth concerns going into the season last year, and then, man, it came to light when they got into SEC play specifically. I mean, they even struggled with San Jose State early in the year. It was just, you know, uncharacteristic for an Auburn team, some of the things that happened. Got, you know, run out of the stadium in their own stadium against Penn State. It was never close in that game. So just a lot of things like that piled up on each other. And then by the Arkansas game, which I think was like the sixth or seventh, eighth game in the season, you know, they fired Harsin, put Cadillac Williams, who was the running back coach, former running back at Auburn, in charge. And you saw a resurgence of energy in the program, even though still some talent deficiencies, still some depth deficiencies. Didn't matter. They went on to beat Texas A&M, lost to Mississippi State at the end there, lost to Alabama, but made it more competitive than most were thinking. So going into this season, with everything that Hugh Freeze has done so far, there's a lot more energy in the program. You know, recruiting seems to be going better. The transfer portal couldn't have gone much better for Auburn. They picked up several guys, 20 total, and a JUCO guy at the end there that's going to probably play a little bit in the secondary. But they picked up a quarterback. They picked up several offensive linemen, defensive linemen. It looks like a lot of those holes have been filled pretty well going into this season.
Yeah. You mentioned the Cadillac Williams spurt at the end there. I feel like that was really important from a fan perspective, just to be like, all right, we have something to hold on to from this program. And then obviously Freeze comes in and the momentum picks up. So he wasn't starting. I mean, he was starting from ground zero, I guess, technically, but the energy that Williams had, I feel like really, cause I just remember seeing that time and time again with every game that he was the coach. It was like, all right, they're at least fighting, you know? And I feel like that was something that Freeze can kind of build off of there.
Oh yeah, man. They turned it around pretty quick when he took over last season. He's an Auburn legend. He's a guy that was awesome at Auburn, had a great career there, and then was top five draft pick, went on to play and was rookie of the year for the Buccaneers. So just his energy that he brought. I mean, it was a total change. Everything was different. You know, not knocking Harsin. He did things his way, man. You know, he came in and he was winning at Boise State. He had a winning record there. So he came into Auburn thinking he could do the same thing. And obviously it's very different in the SEC. It's just a different ball game, right? So it didn't work out. But I think making Cadillac Williams the interim head coach, which even he would tell you, you know, I don't know if I was even ready for that. I think Cadillac Williams mentioned that several times, but it was perfect for what the program needed with energy and just rejuvenation. And now you've got Hugh Freeze, who made Cadillac Williams associate head coach. And now there's a lot of energy in the program. And we'll see. We'll see how it plays out, man. I think right now people are probably really excited about this season and how it might go, because there's some optimism.
Yeah. How exciting, when we look at Hugh Freeze's offensive, you know, reputation, I guess, how exciting is that when you pair that with the potential talent that he can get at Auburn, not just this year, but in the coming years?
Yeah, I think, first of all, everyone knew that quarterback was going to be an issue with his offense coming in, because there was sort of a carousel last year at quarterback with TJ Finley, Robbie Ashford, even Holden Garner, who was a freshman, had to come in a few times. They eventually settled on Robbie Ashford. TJ Finley's no longer with the program. He's at Texas State now. Robbie Ashford had some good moments, you know, but he's still learning as a quarterback. He's still trying to figure out how to become a true passing quarterback and not just a take off and run every time. I think early in the year for LSU, Jaden Daniels was sort of like that. And then he flipped the switch and became more of a real quarterback. And that's something that they're hoping Robbie Ashford can do moving forward. But at the same time, Hugh Freeze knew he needed more of a game manager at quarterback. He went and got Peyton Thorne, transfer from Michigan State. And we don't know for sure that he's going to be the starter, but he probably is, if we're being honest. Mm-hmm. So, now that he's got a few pieces, the offense that he runs, which is RPO heavy, is, you know, the run pass option. He wants to throw it a lot, which is something that, you know, the last time Auburn had a 1,000-yard receiver was in 1984. Chris Wood was his name. There's a stat for you. So, look, I mean, it's difficult. Okay, if you're bringing in a passing offense to Auburn, more, you know, where you lean more on the pass than the run, it's really difficult to recruit what you need there, because it's selling what Auburn has had over the years is more of a running program.
Yeah, running backs.
They run the football. They've had quarterbacks that were dual threats, you know, Cam Newton, Nick Marshall, these kind of guys. Now Robbie Ashford fits that mold. But he's sort of changing it to what he likes, it seems like, with multiple big receivers that he got in the portal, and then Peyton Thorne. So I think it's going to be more of a heavy passing offense, personally.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Peyton Thorne a little bit, because I was curious of Peyton Thorne versus Robbie Ashford, but let's stick on Peyton Thorne a bit. Obviously, the Michigan State, up and down type thing last year, but 2 years ago, I think he showed a lot more of his potential. What are your thoughts on Peyton Thorne and just kind of what you expect from him this season?
I don't think Peyton Thorne is a game changer, so to speak. That doesn't mean he can't take this offense and this team to, you know, unexpected, you know, 9-win season, 10-win season, something of that nature. I don't think he's a game changer, whereas you insert him in the game and automatically, you're scoring on every drive. I don't know if that's the case, because he's more of a game manager type, which that term kind of gets a bad rep. But, you know, that's kind of what Auburn's needed in the past few years. Even when Bo Nix was the quarterback for Auburn, there were times when things were
crazy. Some crazy guys running around over there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it'd be a little unorganized, right?
Yeah.
And that's not the way Hugh Freeze likes to do his offense. That's not the way Philip Montgomery, who came from Baylor and had RG3, is the offensive coordinator at Auburn now. He doesn't like to do things that way. And it's very obvious in the way that they've recruited and the way that they filled the roster from the transfer portal. So they had to have somebody that's more in control as a quarterback, and Peyton Thorne is that guy. Now, I have pretty good confidence that he can control things and he can, you know, move the offense at a steady pace and sort of prevent turnovers and things of that nature. But is he going to make the huge play? Is he going to win in the fourth quarter? Is he going to do that kind of stuff? Maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure yet. I don't have a full read on that yet.
And obviously for him, if he does make the explosive play, it'll be with a lot of new receivers in this Auburn receiving core. I will say, I told you before we started, I went to North Texas, so I'm very familiar with Jair Shorter and Larry Nixon on the other side of the ball. Watched a ton of them over the past few years. Jair got hurt a couple years ago, but yeah, one of the more explosive players in the country, Jair Shorter. So I at least know that receiver. If you want to fill us in on just the receiving core as a whole, because it was a lot of late additions too. It was a lot of guys after spring ball coming in.
It was. In fact, there was only one receiver they picked up from the portal before spring ball, and that was Nick Mardner, who is a guy from Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And before that, he was at Hawaii with Marcus Davis, who now is Auburn's receivers coach. So they had a connection there. He's there. He's a 6'6" receiver guy that, you know, go up and, win a 50-50 ball or something of that nature. Jair Shorter's interesting, man. He led college football, or FBS, excuse me, last year in yards per reception, 27.
Like 25
yards.
Or 27? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So, you know, how will that translate to the SEC? We'll see, but Definitely a big play potential guy. Then you have Caleb Burton, who is a former blue chip recruit. Didn't play much at Ohio State, but he was recruited heavily there, and he went there for a year. Now he's at Auburn. He's got 4 years to play. That's the guy they're really excited about. And then Shane Hooks is an interesting – that, mm-hmm. to me, is probably your guy that's going to be really involved in the offense. He's from Jackson State. He was with Deion Sanders over there. He had 64 catches, 800, mm-hmm. somewhere around there. He was a big play receiver for him. He actually committed to Ole Miss and was committed there for a little while from the portal and decommitted and then went to Auburn. So he's there now. And you also have Rivaldo Fairweather as a tight end slash receiver, which if you followed Hugh Freeze back to Ole Miss, he had a guy named Evan Engram that was dynamic, who still plays in the NFL now. They think that this Fairweather guy is going to be similar to that guy.
Yeah, I remember Jair Shorter coming out of high school was a low three-star tight end. He comes in and immediately moves to receiver. And we're like, okay, that guy's got some juice to him. And he's just gotten better. Like I said, I got hurt, but I'm really excited to see how he fares at Auburn. Last thing about the offense before we move on to defense. How does Jarquez Hunter fit in? Because he's an awesome running back. And obviously, the past 2 years, you know, he's been an awesome running back. But now it seems like, you know, change at head coach, change at quarterback, change at receiver. Jarquez Hunter is the kind of the consistent there. But how do you think he factors in?
Yeah, so that's what's interesting. You know, I said that probably going to be leaning a little bit. If I had to put a percentage on it, maybe 55 pass, you know, 45 run. I don't think it would go any higher than 60 pass run ratio. 60% pass. But the reason I say that is because you do have a very good running back room at Auburn right now. Number one, Jarquez Hunter. He was the backup to Tank Bigsby last year. But at times, I mean, he looked like the better back at times. He was really and Tank good. Bigsby's going to be fine in the NFL. There's nothing wrong with him. And he had a great career at Auburn. But Hunter may be just a little bit more dynamic. He's got some moves. You know, he can break tackles. Do a lot of things. So they're very excited about him. They think he is, you know, probably MVP level guy for the offense, which leads me to believe, look, they're going to lean on him pretty heavily too, as well as pass the ball. He also got some guys that were highly thought of behind him that can play too. Damari Austin was a 4-star recruit. Brian Batty is a guy that they got from the transfer portal that was a 1,000-yard rusher at USF last season. So got a couple of pieces there to run the football too.
Yeah. Defensively, like I said, I know Larry Nixon, but and I've, you know, looked through the rest here, but I'll leave it to you to where you want to start defensively when it's looking at obviously new coordinator as well with Ron Roberts and just kind of the overhaul that they're doing there.
Yeah, defensively is I, you know, for the first time in maybe I don't know since the Nick Marshall era at Auburn, which was 2013, I have felt like the offense might be in better shape than the defense, because defense usually rules at Auburn. That's usually where, you know, they're better on defense and offense typically. But right now there's just a lot of new faces, man. A lot of new faces. The secondary's sort of veteran. You got Nehemiah Pritchett, DJ James, Keontae Scott, Jalen Simpson. Those guys have been there for a while. I think a couple of those guys are going to be NFL draft picks. And then your linebacker group is new, man, completely new. You got Larry Nixon, as you mentioned, from North Texas, who was pretty good over there. You got Austin Keys, who transferred from Ole Miss. You actually have DeMario Tolan, who transferred from LSU.
That's a good pickup, too. I mean, because that's the one transfer out that LSU fans – that stung LSU fans a little bit, because that's a guy that has a lot of potential over there.
And I've heard a lot of good things about him. He's, you know, he's still learning things, but at the same time, he's too athletic to leave out of the equation, you know, so he probably will play a little bit for Auburn. But the defensive front, which is something that Auburn has made a living on. I mean, you think about several guys like Derek Brown, Marlon Davidson. NFL. Yeah. I you know, I'm looking at that position for this upcoming season and going, I don't really see a Derek Brown. I don't see a Marlon Davidson. I don't see a Nick Fairley. You know, I don't see those guys there this year. It's more of a group effort I think it will have to be this season, because there's not just that one standout guy. You have a couple of veterans in Jason Jones, Marcus Harris, and then they picked up Justin Rogers from Kentucky, who was a massive. I was going to say,
Rogers was a big one because I know LSU was in on him too.
Yes. Yeah, he was – he had SEC, you know, top half of the SEC written all over him, and he's probably an NFL draft pick before too long. So that is a very good piece. You picked up Jalen McLeod as an edge rusher from Appalachian State, and that was – we think that's going to be a big one. But behind all those guys is a bunch of new faces and young guys, and usually Auburn's got depth for days on the defensive line. And right now I just don't know how much quality there is in that depth just because they're young. So I am a little bit worried about the defensive front and the linebackers. I think secondary is okay, but the defense as a whole, you know, there's some spots that make you question a little bit.
Yeah. I have written down to ask about the strength of the defense on paper, but I think it's definitely the secondary. Just in the research that I did, which isn't, you know, in depth of watching every single game, but based on who's returning, based on the NFL caliber of players in the back end, that's definitely the strength of the secondary. So I'm interested to see how that balances with what Ron Roberts wants to do schematically, as far as, you know, whether he has to blitz, you know, man up, just how they want to do that.
Yeah, well, it's good to have, you know, if you have deficiencies on the defensive line, then a good secondary that can hold on in coverage a little bit longer is always good for that. So, you know, there's some yin and yang going on there, but I think the secondary is pretty good. Behind those guys that I mentioned, there's again a lot of new faces. So injuries could be a problem if that comes along, but the top four, five guys, I think are pretty much as good as anybody in the SEC. And that's the only position I really feel that way.
Yeah. If you had to have, you know, if there was one position unit that was kind of an X factor for this team, where you're like, okay, that decides how good this team can be. I think, you know, outside of quarterback, where obviously it's like, all right, Peyton Thorne is actually, you know, top five in the SEC, then this is a different team. Outside of that, you know, would you look at offensive line, defensive line? Like, is there an X factor position unit for you?
I would go offensive line because Auburn has had issues with the offensive line in the past few years. They've had issues in offensive line recruiting. Auburn fans know all about that. You know, Hugh Freeze came in, and I think the three, maybe 4 years before Hugh Freeze took over, Auburn maybe picked up three or four true offensive tackles from high school. That's kind of alarming when you go back and look at it. But it's true. That's you know, they've kind of lived out of the portal even before the portal was a thing. They've had transfer guys come in and play. Yeah. So JUCO guys, that kind of thing. So now you finally – Hugh Freeze comes in. He lands Gunnar Britton from Western Kentucky, Avery Jones from East Carolina, and Dylan Wade from Tulsa. And then he lands five high school offensive linemen as well and a JUCO guy. And people are like, wow, hadn't seen this in years at Auburn. Like, this is crazy. So he has rebuilt that offensive line. There's three new starters, possibly four. You also got another transfer that could start at guard. And if Auburn's going to get better on offense, it has to start there because it's been average, especially in run blocking and pass protection has not been great either. But, you know, I think that is the make or break position for Auburn, the offensive line. And they got some good resurgence there with some new faces that I think could be pretty good.
Yeah. Now kind of wrapping it up, I think overall the optimism for Auburn makes a lot of sense on paper with all the new pieces. I really like the receiver additions and the linebacker pickups like we talked about. Real quick, I mean, the schedule is – the SEC is the SEC West, right? It is what it is. And then you had Georgia from the SEC East. At least you have Vanderbilt to kind of counterbalance that a little bit. The good news, I guess, is – non-conference wise, it should be, you know, 4-0, pretty straightforward there. Cal, Stanford, UMass, and New Mexico State. So should be straight there. For Hugh Freeze year one, do you think fans are setting expectations at what, 7 wins, 8, 7 wins? Does that feel fair?
You know, we talk about this all the time. This is obviously a big topic because Auburn was in a place last season that it should never be. Auburn fans know that. and they're very excited about Hugh Freeze and everybody that he's brought in. And I think fans are bouncing around the 7 or 8 wins. You have some that go, oh, you know, 10, I can see 10. But realistically, 7 or 8 seems about right. And honestly, if you're winning, let's just say you win 8 games on that schedule. That would mean, because I think national experts have pretty much narrowed it down to 6, 6.5 is sort of the line for Auburn right now. So that would mean you beat somebody that you weren't expected to beat. You got Texas A&M, obviously, LSU, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Vandy. You get Vandy on the schedule this year. That helps.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Georgia and Alabama. Yeah. You know, so that's where you run into the buzzsaw. But, man, a couple of those toss-up games like Texas A&M, like Ole Miss,
yep.
I feel like Auburn is going to have a real good chance to win those games. Mississippi State, Vandy. I think you can get 4 SEC wins with those. Now, you know, I try to be a realist on this, and I go, yeah, but if it's a toss up game, it could easily go the other way, right? So you're flirting with disaster a little bit, because a lot of the games that are SEC games on your schedule are toss up games. The only one you can really look at besides Vandy, like you said, is Mississippi State, and go, yeah, I think they probably win that one
at home. Should win that one. So, yeah, I mean, you get the 4 non-conference, you get Vanderbilt, that's 5 right there. I think Mississippi State, Auburn should be in a good position there. Obviously, it's middle of the season. We'll know where they are at that point. But that's 6. And then, like you said, you're going to have to win 2 of A&M, Ole Miss, Arkansas. Probably, I mean, if you want, probably as those 2 out of those 3 to get to 8 wins, and 1 out of those 3 to get to 7. I mean, I think 7 or 8 wins is very, I think 7 wins is very doable, just on paper for this team. Look, as me as an outsider, obviously,
sure.
Looking in.
You know, Auburn plays in Baton Rouge this year, correct?
Yeah, in Baton Rouge.
So you probably are aware that until, I guess it was 2021, Auburn had not won in Baton Rouge since 1999. And 2021 was the first time, somehow, you know, under the Brian Harsin era was when it happened.
It was my first time, obviously first year at LSU, and it was the Bo Nix game, just running around.
Yeah, yeah. See, Bo Nix had games like that, though, where he was, like, unstoppable. And then other games, he'd do the same thing, and it just wouldn't work. So the inconsistency at quarterback is something Auburn's had in the last few years, and if they can fix that, that might be – you know, one of the keys to making this team better.
Yeah. The good thing is you get a bye week after Georgia. So you get Georgia, then bye week, then you get to the rest.
That's important, because the Georgia game is not, has not been good to Auburn here lately.
It hasn't been good to anybody.
Nope. You're right about that.